Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Acne, it can be an absolute nightmare for teens, and it's a condition that affects adults also. And while the range of treatments include topical ointments to medicine taken orally, a new approach using a laser is now being studied at the University of Michigan and may turn out to be even more effective. To talk about his research, I'm joined by Dr. Mohammed Islam. He is a professor of electrical engineering and internal medicine at U of M. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Now, we've seen skin laser treatments and laser hair removal treatments for quite some time now. How is this laser treatment different?
This laser trying to get at the root cause of some of the things that create acne. And what we're doing is making a laser that, rather than sort of just heating up the skin, is targeting the particular glands or tissue types that give rise to acne.
And how is it affecting these tissues? Is it somehow permanently removing acne and making it never return?
Well, that's the pipe dream, obviously. That we're not at that stage yet, but what we're trying to do is in your skin, in about a millimeter to 2 millimeters in depth, in your what's called your dermis, you have these, at the end of your hair follicles, you have things called sebaceous glands. These are oil-rich or lipid-rich glands that put out oil. For example, one of their jobs is to help your skin be waterproof, help to lubricate your skin. But if they become overactive or if bacteria builds up in there, that's the cause of acne. And so what our laser does is it selectively targets the lipids in the sebaceous glands, and because it's selective to that, it can damage the sebaceous glands and reduce their activity without damaging the skin around it, i.e. blistering all the skin or burning all the skin around it.
I see. So it actually causes no burn whatsoever on the skin.
Well, if you put enough laser on anything, it'll burn. So it's really getting the range of parameters to where you affect or damage the sebaceous glands without burning the skin. And one of the ways that you prevent the burning of the skin is to, for example, put a cooling element on top, so that you can keep the local heat on the skin, or remove the local heat on the skin.
Have you been testing this, then, on patients at this point?
We've done what's called in vitro, meaning on human skin, but skin that's removed from humans. It's not live tissue in that sense. It's removed from patients right after they're coming out of skin cancer treatment. And as soon as they come out, they're cut out. We take those skins, so they're not completely dead or dried out, but they're just removed, and we keep them in fluids, bring them over to our lab, and treat them at that point. So we haven't done live human studies yet, but we've done in vitro studies.
If we're already using lasers on skin in ways that basically burn the skin, from what I understand about some of these skin laser treatments, what kind of concern do you have about a laser that, from what you're describing, is going to be far more gentle?
Whether or not I have them, certainly the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, does. You still have to get what's called a 510K. In other words, you have to go through a series of human clinical studies over, let's say, a 18 to 24-month period to show that your laser is, number one, safe enough to use, and number two, also efficacious in whatever branding you're using, for example, with acne treatment, that there is a reasonable data that shows acne is treated using the laser.
Is this laser treatment likely to be effective for things other than acne when it comes to skin imperfections?
Possibly, and let me emphasize this is early stage research, so obviously everything still needs to be proven out. For example, the overactive sebaceous glands also give rise to oily skin. So you probably know of somebody who seems to always have a shine on their skin. And that's very oily skin. This would be a treatment for potentially oily skin. Also, you can also build a laser that selectively hits collagen, which is the matrix that makes up your skin. And so, for example, by using a laser of that sort, you might be able to do wrinkle removal. So again, these are possibilities, but all of these still require going through FDA approval.
I'm talking to Dr. Mohammed Islam. He's a professor of electrical engineering and internal medicine at the University of Michigan. And we're talking about a new laser treatment for acne that's now being studied. And Dr. Islam, I wonder, I see commercials all the time for products like Proactiv, and there are so many other topical prescriptions that can be used for acne. How effective do you believe these kinds of lotions really are when it comes to making acne disappear?
So I'm not the dermatologist on the team. Dr. Jeff Orringer is. What he tells me, or my understanding of what he says, is a lot of the topicals, the problem is they can't get deep enough. So if you think about your skin, the top roughly quarter millimeter is the epidermis, dead skin basically, and then below that's the dermis. And so since the glands that give rise to acne are typically 1 to 2 millimeter down in your skin, these topical creams just don't penetrate deep enough.
And this laser would then actually penetrate through this initial layer of skin without damaging it at all and just direct itself to the glands themselves, then?
That's the potential. So one is that we can get enough penetration depth by the particular wavelength of light we use, and the other is that by doing the surface cooling, we can also avoid some of the damage to the top layer of the skin.
From what you're describing, though, we're looking at many years before doctors could really be able to provide this type of laser treatment to patients. Is that not so?
Well, you know, if in an ideal world where funding were not an issue, potentially in something like 2 years, you might have a commercially available laser of this sort with FDA approval. But again, you know, we don't have at this point the funds to be able to commercialize that level, at that speed, I should say.
How serious of a problem would you say acne is? Ultimately, many people view it as a cosmetic issue rather than a serious health issue. How do you view acne and the problem that it presents to people?
Well, I think if you don't have it, it's a cosmetic problem. And if you do, it's probably a little more than cosmetic. I think you can look at it both ways. But obviously particularly for younger people, teenage age, it goes beyond just simply skin and its self-esteem and other things. I think, if you look at the extreme cases of acne, currently, for example, there's a drug called Accutane that's used to treat extreme cases. And there are a lot of side effects associated with that. And so if we could come up with a treatment, a laser-based treatment that could do the same kind of things that Accutane does but without the side effects, that could be a real boom for people who have severe cases of acne.
Finally, is this the first time any approach of dealing with acne using lasers is being attempted?
Oh, by no means. I hope I didn't in any way say that we are. It's interesting because these ideas were first proposed by a group out of Harvard Medical School, and they did the experiments down at the Jefferson National Lab where they used a laser the size of a football field, and I don't joke when I say this. It's called a free electron laser, to show that you could do treatment of things like sebaceous glands and acne. But, everyone looked at it as very interesting results, but, gosh, no one's going to build a laser of that size next to a hospital just for acne treatment. What we're doing is we're using sort of off-the-shelf telecommunications technologies and lasers to do the same procedure. And so suddenly, as long as we're using the stuff that's in the landline, your telephone landline, and is much cheaper and smaller to get the same kind of effect. So I think what we've done is not to sort of invent a new technique, but we've brought it into the realm of reality where people can actually think about using this in a clinical setting and potentially commercializing.
I have to admit that I guess in our somewhat superficial society, I'm surprised that it's taken this long for this type of a product to even, I guess, seriously be developed. I would have thought that this is something that would have happened long ago.
I'd like to think we're smarter than we really are. The problem is we all sit in our silos. So, for example, if you look at University of Michigan, where we work, we have the med school on one side of the river, we have the engineering school on the other side of the river, and rarely do they talk to each other. And so we don't actually leverage each other's expertise. What happened was that as I started talking with some of the colleagues, I'd go over and I'd say, you know, I'm not trying to sell you a laser or anything. Just tell me what your needs are and I can make a laser to that. And what we really found was because we've got a world-class medical school and engineering school, we could work together to kind of come up with solutions for problems through that collaboration and interaction. And so I think what's happening and why some of these technologies aren't, and particularly in the medical field, aren't being developed as rapidly is because there isn't that continuous discussion between the technologists and the doctors. And so there's one camp that understands the human problem, but may not be totally versed in technologies, and there's another camp that's very versed in technologies but doesn't know what the human problem is. And so if you can get those groups to talk to each other and sort of get creative how to solve the problem, you start to come up with these kind of solutions. So, for example, I'm a telecom guy. I'm a fiber optics and laser guy. I don't know very much about dermatology. Dr. Jeff Orringer is a wonderful dermatologist. He understands everything about the skin, but he's only used to using commercial lasers. When we started talking with each other, we can then come up with new innovations.
Well, this certainly sounds like it's going to be a game changer when it comes to treating acne, and probably will run Clearasil right out of business. Dr. Mohammed Islam, a professor of electrical engineering and internal medicine at the University of Michigan, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much.
We'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.